Our text is taken from the book of Genesis, today chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, that is Abraham, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, while I fetch a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you in the spring, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you in the spring, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "No, but you did laugh." Shall we pray? Oh, gracious Lord, as we think about Sarah and Abraham and the struggles they had, they also had the same mentality that we do, that sometimes it is difficult to imagine you accomplishing too much in us. But we also know, oh Lord, that as your servants, we can be of service to you in so many ways and make us worthy of our calling. And even in our limitations, we may glorify you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." There are strange encounters found throughout the Bible, but one of the earliest of these occurred in Genesis regarding Abraham and Sarah. Throughout life, we have all had assorted interactions with people and events. Some make sense and others do not. Abraham had wanted a son, and Sarah's slave gave him one called Ishmael. But he was not one whom God had chosen to be Abraham's heir. Abraham had been promised an offspring earlier by God, but as each of us have done, we want to help God out when we think God is too feeble to come through for us. So Ishmael came on the scene. Abraham needed guidance, and God was going to make sure that Abraham had it. Mysterious guests soon arrived at Abraham's tent. There were three visitors who appeared as wandering travelers when they presented themselves. One was God, who had chosen to meet directly with Abraham for the purpose of discussing his future and patriarchal role as God's chosen one. Some scholars have interpreted these three figures who appeared to Abraham as the prototype Old Testament version of the Holy Trinity. An excellent possibility, as witnessed when Abraham did address one of them as Lord. It cannot be denied. The other two remained anonymous, but probably were angels according to most Judeo-Christian scholarship. It was the heat of the day, and only foolish people traveled at noon, and therefore these wanderers required shelter, rest, and refreshment at this desert oasis where Abraham had camped. As a reminder, hospitality was a sacred custom among ancient people. It was mealtime, so Abraham took care of their appetites, in which, after the three sojourners told Abraham the purpose of their visit to him, they spoke about the son who would soon be born to Abraham and Sarah, and then later, after the destructive demise upon Sodom and Gomorrah was discussed, these people departed. As a reminder, this was the second time that God had assured Abraham about the promise of a son. In this strange encounter, Sarah had been eavesdropping on the conversation in which the Lord revealed the truth about her future motherly medical condition. The words were addressed to Abraham, but the focus was directed towards Sarah. In her response, she laughed, and her laughter demonstrated an unbelief in the possibility that this could happen. Sarah's thinking was on a purely human dimension, because reason says such phenomena do not happen for a 90-plus-old woman to become a mother. God is not against laughter. Let me make that clear. God is not against laughter. But Sarah laughed, who then tried to cover up her giggling with a fib. No one can fool God. And what God frowned upon was not the laughter, but her denial of truth about ready to become reality. A very interesting question posed to Abraham by God, and something we all must seriously consider. Remember, Sarah was 99 years old and childless. She and Abraham had been married for many years, but nothing to show by way of children. How big is our God? Do we need a tape measure? No. Is anything actually too difficult for God to do and accomplish? Are there any circumstances in our lives that seems to be beyond our reason, redemption, and relief? Are such matters truly beyond the reach and care of the Lord? Remember, with God, all things are possible. On a human level, God can take care of everything. However, let us consider the grace of God involved in this passage, irregardless of Sarah's skeptical laughter. God didn't disqualify Sarah as the chosen one to be the mother of a nation. God did rebuke her verbally for her unbelief, but at the same time, God honored her with a personal and promised blessing by providing a child for her. In some odd way, the birth of Isaac was almost an anticlimax to the entire drama presented here. Just as God said it would happen, so it did occur. It wasn't a big deal in one sense. If God had promised it, then it would be fulfilled. We should continue to expect nothing less. What Sarah meant as a jest through her unbelieving mockery became a play on words, because through God's grace and as a tribute of joy, the name Isaac was given to their son. You know what Isaac means in the Hebrew? It means laughter. So Sarah, in reality, had the last laugh in almost an oxymoron sort of strange way. How fitting the name for a son given by God, which signified eternal gratitude in the form of a baby called Isaac. Sarah originally had chuckled at God's proclamation. Now, Abraham, Sarah, and all the camp rejoiced at God's blessing in sending the promised child to them. God's grace brought happiness that overspilled into laughter, and everyone who greeted little Isaac would be blessed when they spoke his name. Through God's own pleasure, this miraculous provision would culminate 2,000 years later with the eventual birth of God's own son through his Abrahamic line. God must have smiled or dare we say laughed. Remember, a lot of times we think of God is in heaven with a frown on face and does nothing more or less than create dark clouds around us. That is not what God's intention is to be about, and nor a true interpretation or impersonation of God. God does not, as I said earlier, condemn laughter. God loves the joyfulness of happy people in the Christian church and wherever it may be. No one can say that having a frown on your face has ever actually convinced people to become followers of Jesus Christ. God's grace did bring happiness that overspilled into laughter, and everyone who greeted little Isaac would be blessed when they saw his name. Through God's own pleasure, this miraculous provision would culminate 2,000 years later with the eventual birth of God's own son through the Abrahamic line. Just think, 2,000 years from the time Isaac and Sarah lived and Abraham, Jesus Christ, was born. So that has been 2,000 years ago in our timeline. It was 2,000 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. And yet there was a connection there, a strong connection in that regard. God must have thoroughly smiled, or dare we say laughed. God's grace is the source of hope rather than despair. Grace is the perfect complement to God's presence and, get this, God's power. God is with us and God is for us. Don't forget it. God never abandons those who love God sincerely or has a heart which is ready to respond to God at any time. Grace is the perfect complement to God's presence and God's power. God is with us and God is for us. Shouldn't that bring encouragement to all of us this morning to realize such unlimited compassion continues from God even to this moment? We must remember that God loves us, cares for us, has compassion, and is more merciful than we could ever hope to have received. But God is that way. So we must remember that every day of our lives. It will give us hope and it will give us encouragement in all things. This is true because, you know what? It's a divine fact written in Holy Scripture. So take God's word at face value and say, hey, there must be something to this. So place your confidence in God, and God will see you through the bleak, the depressed times, but most of all through the better times. God is with us all the time. Never forget that. He was with Sarah and he was with Abraham, and we know God is still with us. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, sometimes we forget that you are in our lives or in our midst, but we know that you will take care of us when we go through trials and tribulations, which were not brought on by ourselves, but by external sources. Help us every day, guide and lead us through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now let us join together in affirming our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, led, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.